Well, this morning I had a good time. At the expense of poor old brother Reagan. And you guys from Michigan, but thanks for letting me pick on you a little bit. But tonight I'm going to be a little bit more serious. And not that I wasn't this morning, but I want to get across really what the church means to me. Everybody else has been able to say it, so I'd like to say it. And so if you go ahead and turn in your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I do appreciate the hospitality of everybody here. And thank Brother Peacock and Mrs. Peacock for being so kind to us over the years. That's to all of us. They have been very kind to us, and we sure appreciate that. And it's not an easy thing to let a whole bunch of people come into your church. Of course, now, for me, that would be a great problem to have. But I know it's a tough thing to let a whole lot of folks come to your church. You're opening yourself up, and I appreciate what they've done. And it's a great blessing to all of us because it's become a watering hole for us to get some strength. And we sure do appreciate that. Appreciate what Brother Stevens had to say tonight. That was a real blessing to me. Okay, now look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look down at verse 13. I remember Dr. Ruckman said one time, he said, John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so he said this in a statement after he was talking about that verse. He said, that is the touchstone of salvation, receiving Jesus Christ. Now we got to believe, but we also must receive. And so I'm thankful for that man's influence on all our lives. And what he gave us, and that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Look at verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, and what a privilege it is to be able to expound truth. Amen. And give you the truth. And he says, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, because it's not. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I'm going to ask my good friend, Brother David Walker, if he would pray for us tonight, please. Amen. You may be seated. I really like Adrian Rogers. I think he is one of the great preachers in our era. And he said something like this. Somebody was writing something about him. And what Adrian Rogers said, I guess in effect to this gentleman, was, he said, I've always thought that my number one job was to fill the pulpit. He said, I never thought about church growth. He said, I was always more concerned about pulpit growth. He said, if I fill the pulpit, then it is up to Jesus Christ to fill the pew. Now, after I read that, I began to remember some things that we were taught as students at PBI. And Brother Sam, Brother Woodard, a lot of other gentlemen that went to PBI, Brother Tom Johnston. And we were taught some basic biblical doctrinal truths. And so I want to start off tonight by saying this. One time we were all gathered together at a table and I was struggling with some things about trying to preach. And I made a statement. I said this. I told some gentlemen, and it's not a good thing what I said, but I'm going to say it so that I can straighten it out. I said, you fellows that did not go to PBI have a great advantage over us because you can see things in the Bible that I cannot see. And so Brother Peacock, he was very gracious to me. He was seated at the table as well, and he was very gracious to me. And he said this, he said, after it was over with, he took me aside and said, he said, Brother, he said, I appreciate what you said. He said, but what you have is a basic doctrinal foundation that keeps you in the truth. And he said that truth is what makes preaching correct. Now, you may not remember that conversation, but to me, that was a great conversation. I'm thankful for that. Now, in the local church, what I got was, I got the truth. Now, I'm not going to be up here. I'm just going to be right here with you tonight. I got the truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. My dad told me when I was a young man, he said, son, he said, don't you ever get anything but a King James Bible. He said, because that is the word of God. My dad had no idea what he was talking about. I love my dad, and I'm not being funny. I love my dad, but he did not know. He had been told, it had been handed down to him that all the new versions, and he said this, were funny versions. And so he told me, now I held on to that, but I did not have the truth. And I got to go to a church one day in Pensacola, Florida, that there was a man that handed me the truth. And he gave me that truth. And for the first time in my life, I had something that I could anchor my faith in. I could anchor my soul in. I could anchor my trust in. Because up until that point in my life, I had had a whole bunch of lies. So now here's Brother Stevens and Brother Walker. I don't mean to keep calling you out, but fellas, you've helped me. Just being here this week, you have helped me because you keep giving the truth. And we as preachers, we are supposed to continue to keep giving the truth. Brother Pilkington, I don't know where you're at, but brother, we've got a great responsibility of continuing on in the truth of the Word of God. And you see, that's what church means to me, is that it keeps me straight doctrinally. And whenever I'm leaning a little bit to the left, all I have to do is talk to Brother Peacock or talk to Brother Walker, or I might even call Brother Stevens now. Who knows? I don't know. But I can talk to these men and they can get me back to the center. To where, that's a little off, come back center, or even go far right just a little bit and hang right there until the pendulum can fit in the center, because the truth is more important than you are. Amen. The truth is more important than our messages are. The truth is the thing that will survive after we are gone. That book's been around a long time, gentlemen. That book has been here and it has held us up and it has given us strength. It has shown us the right way. It has taught us how to live. It has taught us, me, about eternal security. Now, Brother Stevens writes that in his book and he puts that in a paragraph. And to me, he gets excited about it. But for me, a person who was raised in North Carolina, who doubted his salvation up until the time that Dr. Ruckman handed me the truth, and I learned a verse over in Ephesians chapter 2 that's probably been beat to death. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Now let me repeat that one just one more time. Not of works. I'm going to have to go again on that one. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He handed me that truth and I believed it as the Word of God. That day, I settled forever in my heart and mind that I did not have to worry about my salvation, because it was not up to me to keep it like I had always been taught. It was up to Jesus Christ to finish the work that He started in me until the day of Jesus Christ. And I was so excited. Now, you may not see that up here, but I was very excited. You know what church means to me? It means a place that I can keep straight doctrinally. And I can get help doctrinally. I remember Brother Lance one time, there used to be a saying that would go around, and it would say this, all good preaching is not good doctrine. And Brother Lance, it made him mad, I guess. I don't know. He had a little temper every once in a while, you know. And I remember he stood up one time and, you know, in the fashion that Brother Peacock was using his. And he said, if it's not good doctrine, it cannot be good preaching. We must remain true to the book and true to sound biblical doctrine. Do you know how careful I have to be with the people that I have, telling them the things that I'm telling them out of that book? And what I've learned is that I'm building a foundation for them and showing them things out of that Bible that's going to really structure their mind and their heart as to what they're going to believe from now on. One of the fellows that's been coming to my church is my brother, my physical brother. There's another one of me. He's a shorter version, but I got a brother. He was sitting in class one night. He asked questions like a madman, you know, and I'm not good at answering them like, you know, some of these guys are. And so he said one night, he raised his hand. And I said, no more. No more questions. I'm done. He said, no. He said, it's not a question. He said, where has this stuff been? I said, well, it's been in that book. He said, where have you been? And so very quickly I said, well, maybe the Lord was getting me ready. And maybe the Lord was getting you ready so that whenever I gave you this truth, you wouldn't choke on it. And so I was teaching through 1 Thessalonians, and I was scared because I knew I was getting 1 Thessalonians 5. And I knew I was going to have to talk about the body and the soul and the spirit. And I knew I was going to have to talk about spiritual circumcision. And I was scared because I figured when I brought it up, there was going to be like an exodus, and I would have already parted my church down the middle. And there's only 8 of us. So 8 take away 4 is 4, you know. And Karen's prayer has been, I sure hope it's not just me and you there. And I've only had to preach to her twice that it's just been me and you. And she has taken it well, Brother Elliot. She sit there and just smile. And I'm just as gentle. I say, not like Brother Pilkington, but I'd say, honey, I love you. So what does the local church, I'm sorry, Miss Jess, I apologize for that. I was not trying to throw him under the bus. He already did it for himself. The local church keeps me straight doctrinally. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it is the Bible Doctrine Institute. And we are trying our best to make sure that we put out correct Bible doctrine. Now, we ain't perfect, but we're close. And we're doing the best we can. All right, what else does it mean to me? I think, for me, the local church keeps me safe. Keeps me secure. It's like one of those cities of refuge over in the Old Testament that I can run to whenever I'm in trouble. Any of you ever been in trouble? Yeah, then you get to come to church, and then you get a sermon that helps your heart. Now, I really appreciate, and I don't think Brother TK's here, but I really appreciate the military, and I appreciate law enforcement. Now, you see, I'm getting points because, you know, Brother Peacock, former law enforcement, you know, so I'm getting, this is just, every time I say law enforcement, I'm getting, this is a brownie point, you know, I'm Brother Mike's getting a brownie. He gets to come back next year because he said law enforcement. But I really appreciate him now. I appreciate him for a different reason, probably. I didn't appreciate him when I was 18. Oh, no, no, no. No, I was trying to stay away from him when I was 18. But now, for me, law enforcement is like a line in the sand. I think I've heard it described as a blue wall. Is that right? A thin blue line or a blue wall? And I've heard it described that way, and it's an imaginary line, of course. But there's real people involved. And you know what? It's not that those people are trying to harm me, but they're trying to keep evil away from good folks. And so, in my mind, they're keeping me safe. They're helping me, you know. And I really appreciate them doing that. I appreciate the military the same way. I mean, we don't always know what the military, and I got to say Navy because Brother Elliot's here, but we don't always know what the military is doing, but there's a line in the sand that says, don't come to the USA if you're going to start trouble. And so there's a line there. And I believe that line protects us. Now, I also believe that there's a line spiritually. And I believe that line is called a local church. And I believe that line is just enough of a reminder to us and to the world that there's a thin, I'm not going to call this one a blue line. I'm going to call this one a thin red line. Amen. You know, like that scarlet thread that hung out of that window where the spies were, you know, they were going into that town. And she said, now listen, you see that scarlet thread that I let you down by? Please make sure that my family is safe and me. And I bet those spies came back to that. Boy, you gotta watch it. While everything else was crumbling down around them, they were safe. You know, in here, while everything is crumbling down around us, we're safe. Because we got a thin red line that runs. And I'm going to say through our country. Now, we may not agree with all the churches in our country, but they do serve as a reminder that we do have a God. And they do serve as a reminder that there is a real Jesus Christ. And I may not agree with all of them. I may not be able to, you know, fellowship with all of them, but I appreciate all of the churches that there are in America. Maybe not the Catholic churches, but you know, and not the JWs, you know, and all that stuff. But anyway, I appreciate the fact that there is some reminder in America for all of us. And a thin red line that runs through here, I'm not saying it's holding America together by a thread, but I am saying that it keeps us Christians from crossing that line, because whether you believe it or not, what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. So I want to make sure I'm on the right side of that line. I want to make sure that whenever we come to church and we sit in church, that we remember the one who died for us, who shed his blood for us, who made it possible to have that thin red scarlet thread running through our country and given us an opportunity to tell somebody else about what he did for us. Oh man, I really appreciate a local church. It's not just all to me about the great preaching, it's about the great Savior. It's not just all to me about the great singing, but it's about the great salvation, about the one that we're singing who gave us that salvation. And I'm grateful that Jesus Christ has been so good to us. The last thing that I want to say is I appreciate the local church because it means to me spiritual growth. I don't think that I would have grown without a local church. I don't think I could have sit at the house, watched YouTube videos long enough, or, you know, and I'm not an avid reader. I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. We didn't read. I mean, brethren, for me to sit down and read a book is like you just might as well start and put needles. I'd rather have them. And so here the whole time I'm sitting there reading, I think I could be outside mowing the yard. I could be painting the house. I'm just like, and so I missed like four chapters and I thought, what did I do? And so I had to go back and reread, and it aggravates me to death. I have really had to work on something that I am not good at. But I read. I may not like it, but I read. And I get instruction from that, and I'm thankful for it. But I got news for you. I don't think I would read anything, including my Bible, that I've read a bunch. From Genesis to Revelation, because somebody told me one day it was important to read that book. And so if I hadn't been in a local church, I would never have heard that, and I probably would never have read that Bible. It would have been to me, just like it was to the rest of my family, it would have sat on the coffee table as a coaster or a place you put your doilies, and that's the great book. But it would never have been personal to me, so I'm thankful for a local church that encouraged me, and through camaraderie and rivalry, I began to read that book. I went to Pensacola Bible Institute, and there were men there who had actually read the Bible through from cover to cover. And I thought, well, I was humiliated. I went out on visitation one night, and I knocked on the door, and there was a lady come to the door, and I said, ma'am, I said, would you mind if I ask you a couple questions? I said, are you saved? Do you know if you're going to heaven? She said, well, that's personal. I said, I realize that, you know. And I was much kinder back then because I was scared to death. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, do you know if you died today, if you would go to heaven? She said, young man, let me ask you one question. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, have you ever read your Bible? I thought, oh, man, this ain't Dr. Ruckman. And I did what any good Baptist preacher would do. I lied. What would you have said? Would you have told the truth? I was humiliated, man. I said, yeah, I've read it twice. So in essence, I didn't just lie once, I lied twice. Long story short, she didn't get saved. I went back to the car and I sat down, and I was by myself that night. You know, it was one of them nights when nobody's going with you. And I mean, I went up the door. I was like, yeah. I went back and sat down in the car, you know. I sat there for a minute and there was somebody talking to me, and I looked around. And I thought, man, ain't nobody in the car with me. Liar. Like, who said that? As my wife, did she secretly sneak in the car? And man, I'm telling you, I was under conviction. I went to church, I don't know what day it was, but I went to church, you know, anytime that week, whatever it was. And when they said, let's please stand, I ran to the altar. Oh, I'm serious. And I got down on my knees and I begged God to please forgive me for lying. You know what I made it my mission to do? I made it my mission to read that Bible through while I was in Bible school. I decided if I'm not going to read it while I'm in Bible school, I'll never read it when I get out. So at night after Bible school, till 10 o'clock, I even had to go on Friday because I was stupid in English. After Bible school, after 10 o'clock, I'd read my Bible 10 chapters a night. Sometimes, surely you've done that. But I began to read that book and I began to grow. Now you couldn't have told that I was growing. And I'm not sure that we can always tell whenever people are growing. And I don't think that we can measure growth like we think we can. We're awfully good at fruit picking and fruit inspecting. And like I said this morning, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and I will put fruit on you whenever I decide to put fruit on you. And until that time, you just hang on, man. Ain't that pretty good? Just hang on. That's what a branch does. Just hangs on. Because you are in for a ride. And up until this point, it has been the ride of my life, just being part of the vine. And if I ever produce a grape or an apple or an orange or a persimmon or a pomegranate, then I'm going to praise God for it. Not because I've read my Bible a bunch, but because God decided to hang a little fruit out there. Amen. You know what I'm trying to get the folks at that church to do? I'm trying to see that there's something more important than them. I'm trying every week to promote Jesus Christ and show them that He is more important than them. He is more important than their problems. He should be the preeminent one in their life. And I'm trying somehow every week to make sure that Jesus Christ is the number one person that we pay attention to in that church. I'm thankful for what everybody's doing to help us, but it's all because of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of His blood. We have a Bible Institute because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And we have the rare privilege of being able to tell somebody else about what He has done for us. So do I think the local church is important? Brethren, if it wasn't for the local church, I would not be here today. I am not a brighter, but it is a very important and vital part of my life. And I do not want to live without it. Thank you, Brother Peacock.